Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Cindy S. Solomon coming to you today on May 21st with the Global Product Management Talk. The Global Product Management Talk is curated for product professionals who can't leave their desks to engage in product talks on a regular basis. It's a weekly mini product camp Socratic discussion of pre-posted questions with live audio of thought leader and co-host commenting via live broadcast. For more information on how to participate, please visit our website at www.prodmgmttalk.com and use the hashtag #prodmgmttalk to follow us on Twitter. We are sponsored this week by the Association of International Product Marketing and Management. The AIPMM is the hub of all things product management. It's where product professionals go for answers. It's the world's largest organization of product managers, brand managers, product marketing managers, and other individuals responsible for guiding their organizations and clients through a constantly changing business landscape. It is the only organization that represents those who manage the entire product lifecycle throughout any industry. For more information, visit www.aipmm.com. And register for upcoming courses in San Francisco, June 20th through 22nd. Creating Successful Products is a one-day intensive, and Product Innovation Leadership is a two-day intensive that includes a Certified Innovation Leader credential. Both courses provide PDUs for PMP project managers. More information is available at www.aipmm.com/PDU. Please sponsor the Global Product Management Talk, and your commercial and information will be shared with our listeners. Today we are discussing the importance of effectively managing requirements to guarantee successful products. Requirements management is the cornerstone of any product delivery process and the most important task of product management. The quality of this process will dictate the quality of the entire release. The purpose of requirement management tools is to provide a repository and enable the management of gathering, evaluation, prioritization, dependency, and traceability activities. Without such a tool, the entire process, which becomes manual, is very inefficient, disorganized, and sometimes even creates more mess and damage than value. Such tools also serve the transparency needed to allow any stakeholder in the organization to observe and review the requirements. This way, the overall process will not become private and secret to the world of product management only, but rather enable smooth communication and collaboration between product management across all functions within the organization to guarantee the ultimate success of the product creation process in support of the business strategy. I am delighted to welcome our speaker, Leon Malalo, who is a product management veteran with extensive experience in both global multinational enterprises and SMBs. He has over 30 years of experience in high-tech companies in multiple positions of development, marketing, and product management. He is a Black Blot strategic product management trainer, consultant, and part of the Black Blot product management expertise professional team. Leon has rich experience in assisting companies in selecting, defining, and implementing product management best practices and processes, and also in establishing and managing product management groups in high-tech companies. He brings extensive experience in the telco communications service provider, CSP, and human capital management, HCM market. Welcome, Leon.
Thank you.
Okay, and I also want to introduce our co-host, John Newbery. Leon is joining us from Israel, and John Newbery is joining us from the UK. John is a B2B marketing professional who is passionate about new technologies, innovative products, and creative thinking. He has 12-year experience working for leading international organizations. His roles include product management, marketing strategy, brand strategy, new product development, and management. His current role focuses on the development and implementation of marketing strategies within the North European distribution sector and all areas of the marketing mix. both traditional and online. Leon, can you tell us where you're speaking from and give us some background on product requirements?
Okay, Cindy, but first of all, let me thank you for inviting me to this talk, and especially with this very interesting and challenging subject, which is I'm dealing with it for years and trying to find solutions how to do it in a better way, because I really truly believe that requirements management is what product management is all about. When I say product requirements management, I'm talking about activity of collecting requirements, which hopefully at the end of the day will become a features in the product. This is the essence of this activity. I see in this overall activity four main challenges. The first one is relatively simple. It's the storage, a kind of a database of a data storage where I can put all my requirements. From here, it starts to be a little bit more complex. I see three challenges. The first one is traceability. Why do we need traceability? We have different types of requirements. We have market requirements, which in general describes the problem of the user. We have product requirements, which talks about what the product will do. We have system requirements, how these features will be built. And I can think of a few more types of requirements. Now, the most important issue is to understand how they are connected to each other. I have a market requirement. Which product requirements relate to that? Which system requirements relate to that? And so on and so forth. This brings us to the third challenge, which is if things are connected, so probably there are some kind of dependency between them. If I decide to take out specific product requirements, which market requirements I won't be able to answer? If I take out some system requirements because of architecture problems, any other issues, what product requirements won't be able to be fulfilled, and which market problems I won't be able to solve? The fourth one is maybe the most challenging one, and this is the prioritization. We all know that development is a very expensive resource. We never have enough resources. We never have enough time. So we need to choose what to do before and what to do after. This is the prioritization. I'm familiar with 10 different techniques of prioritization, but in order to be more effective, I need some mechanisms in order to do the prioritization in a, let's say, objective way, because everyone thinks the requirement is the most important. Saying that, to accomplish, to answer, to address three challenges, except the one with the storage, manually, it's almost impossible if you have more than 10 requirements. I'm familiar with, and Cindy mentioned that I came from the telecom company. I work in a company called Amdocs and developed a billing and CRM system. We are talking about hundreds of requirements in each PRD. To manage traceability, dependency, and priority manually in such an environment, simply impossible. I still remember the thousands of lines of Excel sheets that we lost our way inside of them. So this brings us to the issue of the tools that will be able to help. I still hear the echo.
In your experience, who is using requirements management tools, or what sort of proportion? Yeah, in my experience as a product manager, I've heard of these systems and these technologies, but I've never had the pleasure of using one. So I wonder if you've got a feel for what kind of proportion of product managers are actually able to use these.
I thought at the beginning that only big companies, you know, with many product managers and many products will use such tools. But lately I'm finding even small companies who understand the benefit of using such tools. But from several polls that I did in LinkedIn and other places, percentage of organizations that are using requirements management tools is unfortunately low. It's less than 30%, and it means it can become from two reasons. One, maybe the awareness of the importance of using such a tool, because sometimes people say, oh, well, we can do it manually, and they stay with it. The second is that part of the tools, not all of them, part of them are quite complex. They are trying to offer a lot of functionality, and this means that the setup time is quite long. you need to enter a lot of information in order for the tools to be efficient. And between these two, not understanding the importance and the fact that the tools are not intuitive, this is the reason I believe that we have only 30% of the organization using such tools.
Yeah, interesting. And what's the general experience? The 30% that are using RMT tools, obviously they're keen to endorse the technology. They get presumably significant value from implementing these systems.
Exactly. Those who survived the journey tell me that it's amazing the difference between using or not using requirements management tools. But again, the journey is a bit long. The benefit waits at the end, but not everyone is willing to pay the price.
I can understand that. Where would we start, Leon, as a product manager? I work in a multinational organization, running any number of projects at any one time in the various stages of development. Where would we start with adopting an RMT package?
I will start first in defining what are the most important tasks I need to do with my requirements management. Is it traceability? Is it dependency? Is it prioritization? There are, for example, a product that has very small number of users or customers. In such case, prioritization can become less complex. There are cases that the products are not living on their own and they are part of a portfolio, and there is a lot of dependency in other products. For example, if you have a portfolio with 5, 6, 7 products which works together, so every little thing that you do in one of the products may influence other products. So in this case, dependency becomes critical issue. So the first thing is to understand where my challenge lies in requirements management. Then I will go out and start to look for products and solutions that answer these challenges. There are products that offer an excellent prioritization mechanism. In other hand, in dependency and traceability, they are weak. There are a lot of tools out there. Before this show, I went to Google and tried to look, and I mapped at least 27 different tools, which are very different from one to another. They are small tools, they are very complex tools. The market is full with tools, and we have the problem in choosing which is the best one for our needs.
I guess that's a case of either trialing the systems available or searching demos, perhaps getting third parties that can advise by understanding the business each product manager has on their own hands to deal with.
Yes, and today we have at least part of these tools. We are not going to mention names, of course, but at least part of the tools are offering the usage as software as a service, which means you don't need to bring and install the product. So such a tool is very easy to log in and do a kind of a demo. It's very simple. It's someplace out there in the cloud, and it is very, very recommended not to choose tool just by, a comparison table, but to put hands on, because there is a big difference between what it's promised by the tool and to the way it is being used and it is implemented. As I say, at least at part of the tools, the setup time is not simple. So it's very, very crucial here to do a demo and to do a hands-on test to understand how the tools are going to work, because to change such a tool, it's also very, very problematic because you have tons of information inside and then you need to move it to another tool. So hands-on is one of the most important choosing criteria here.
I'm sure. And in your experience, Leon, is that helpful also getting the buy-in throughout the company? That the hands-on demonstration feels like it might be a good way to present the concept to senior management, the directors, before investing any money?
In some cases, this can be even the only way to convince, because, requirements management is out there for 30 years, so why do we need a tool now? And not that the tools are so expensive, they are not so expensive, but again, it looks like a tool that you organize your work, and it's very hard, you will have very hard time to convince why you need such a tool. And the only way to show the benefit is to demonstrate what the tool can do, because the outcome of a tool is much more than just organizing and managing the tools, to do strategic planning, to do what-if analysis. And this is where management understands the real value of such a tool.
Yeah, of course. And over the last, it's always been an issue, but I think more recently, ROI, the return on investment, has become a very well-known terminology within marketing and product management. Do you see easy ways to prove this, the RMT technology, to demonstrate any return on whatever investment might be?
The only way to do it is to put the emphasis on the business side, not on the technical side of managing the requirements. Because when I asked 15 years ago for the first time, it took me 2 hours to explain why Excel can't do the work. Well, Excel can do the work, but in what price? So the only way is to put the emphasis on the business. What I mean business. One of the critical aspects of creating revenue in a company is presenting the right product to the market. So what will be the difference of not presenting the best solution? Because we didn't do the prioritization in the right way. Because we ignored some kind of dependencies. So to show a product which is a result of manual requirements management versus a product which is a result of using an RMT in a business way, this can be something that can influence and help management to decide. When I try to do it, it will make the life of the product manager easy. It didn't impress anyone. So by saying, look, what, and I'm asking the management, here are 20 features, the most important features of my product. I can do only 15. Can you choose, please, the 15? So they managed to choose. And I said, okay, this was easy. Now explain to me what is the outcome of not doing the 5 requirements that we decided to put out. No one has the answer. There is no way to understand that unless you can put it in a product, in a tool like this, which can compare the scope of the release versus the strategic and business goals of the company. And you will see that by taking out requirement number 17, you won't be able to penetrate market A. Suddenly, it's graphically showing to you. There's no way to do it manually. So this is the only way to convince management, not by the technical size, but the business outcomes of using such a tool.
Yeah, very good. It sounds extremely powerful to be able to demonstrate at a business level, yeah, the business opportunities that are present, and more importantly, the situation you just described, where if you take out one of the features or one of the requirements, what the direct impact that has on the future business.
And product management at the end of the day is yet another tool to achieve the business goals. So everything must be and should be connected to the business of the company. This way, you and the management are talking, if I may say so, in the same level.
Yeah, that's always good. Always good.
Yeah.
The RMT package, the software, and I understand we'll be able to manage the requirements or help a team manage the requirements. But who do you see generally managing the tool? Would it be a product manager in every case, or is it equally shared in terms of ownership across a full team? Or is there someone more senior, like a project sponsor or product sponsor, that would have overall management or ownership of the package itself?
The package itself can be open to almost everyone in the company, but the person who manage means do the prioritization, manage means to the dependencies, the traceability, the connection, the linkage between, it should be product management. So product management can be also product marketing if they are in the same team or in two different teams. But the beauty of such tool is that you can open it to everyone to look. So Sandy mentioned before, there is no secrets which is done behind closed door, and these product managers, who knows what they are doing. It's open, everyone can access the tool, but the only one who can manage it, which means change and maintain the information, should be only product management.
As a product manager, Leon, I fully agree with that. It sounds sensible, it sounds essential that everyone can access the RMT. But ultimately, one person has responsibility for it.
Exactly.
Just trying to keep up with some of the traffic on Twitter, Leon, as we're talking through. And a question, a very good question, Vicky PPS has posted. The question is, what is the difference in selecting or changing RMT compared to, say, a CRM or shopping cart tool, where you've got these business level technologies taking a lot of effort to implement? Do you see any similarities, or is it much different to one of those other systems?
At the end of the day, RMT is yet another product, yet another system that you install in order to make your life easy. Let's put it in a very simple. I don't think it change in essence between CRM and other, of course, in the size, but in the end of the day, is a tool. And as any other tool, you must understand what you need and you must find the perfect match. Now, we know that changing CRM system or changing any other system in the organization is very complex. The problem here is that while you are doing this shift during this time, which is not hours or days, it may take weeks or months, you are not able to do all the miracles and wonders that we spoke before, to do a prioritization by pushing a button, to take something out and to see where are the dependencies. But other than that, it's any other tool which should be very well focused and targeted to the problem that you want to solve.
Sure. In terms of challenges, I think we've already covered some big ones. The more obvious challenges in terms of gaining buy-in from senior management for the investment. Another challenge being the actual complexity of setting up the RMT at the implementation stage. But once you're up and running, are there any more slightly less obvious challenges that you frequently see, Leon?
Well, there is a challenge of a backup, but I believe that any IT system can manage that. The issue is, one of the issues that I see is how data is being stored in the system, because requirements management is a system that you set it up once, but now you need to maintain it. As the most popular activity of maintaining the storage is to add more and more and more and more requirements. So sometimes since product managers are very concerned of what is entered in the system, they force everyone to send them the requirements, and then they will be the ones that will type in the requirements, and sometimes they become a bottleneck. Other option can be a way that anyone, if I take it to the other side, anyone can enter a requirement to the system as long as he's doing it in a very well-defined template, and then these requirements are stored in the storage as a need to be reviewed. They are not going to become a requirement like all the rest. And then product manager can go in and can review, and then he decides to change the status, and then it can become a real requirement. But I saw in many cases that product managers don't like this kind of everyone putting what they want inside the system. So send me the requirements, and they become a bottleneck, and they are wasting half of their time just by entering the requirements inside. And this is a stage that we need to overcome quickly.
And how would you tackle that, Leon? Is that through policies or procedures or basic training?
Even simpler than that. Every company has an internal knowledge management system, an internal portal. So there is a kind of a form, a page that you need to fill. And you must fill all the fields. For example, what's the requirements? What's the problem that it solves? What's the the source that this requirement came from? One or two use cases for it. So when you provide all this information, then product management doesn't start from point zero. It can start a little bit further. And this way, the people in the organization feel that the system is really open for them. Now, the fact that there is a form and the fact that everyone can fill it doesn't mean that everything will go inside the storage and everything will go to the next release. Absolutely not. So there should be a kind of internal marketing saying, hey, you can send us any idea that you want, but you need to do it in a very organized way, and there is one judge that will decide in, out, and when. This is a policy that the organization need to put in place. So it's internal training, it's internal marketing, it's a policy, and it's a tool that you can enter your requirements, and you can track where your requirement is in the flow now. Was it reviewed? Yes, no. Was it rejected? Yes, no, and etc.
Sure, that's quite a logical and process driven way to actually input information into the RMT, which sounds like an essential part of the whole process.
Yeah.
It sounds as though a lot of the challenges that we're discussing, Leon, come up in the early days, and really once you're up and running and the system's been implemented and the team are familiar with how to work it, you'll really start to see benefits and efficiencies. Will they happen quickly? Can you see those immediately, or is there a period of teething troubles or just really embedding in before you get any benefit back from RMT?
The basic fact that you take tens or hundreds of requirements and put them in one place, which is central to the company, you already have a benefit, because now there is one place that everything is organized there. Now, as soon as you start to use the other mechanism, for example, the first thing that you will do is traceability, and then you start to connect them, and then you can see a benefit. There is no way that to put the RMT in place and in one day jump up with all the functionality that it has to offer. I mentioned only three. The last page that I prepared for a customer in order to choose a requirement management tool, there were 23 different requirements from the RMT. So don't expect that everything will happen in one day. It may take a few months, but the benefits will start to come very quick. Simple ones at the beginning, for example, in order to do what if, you need the whole system up and running. So this may take a few months. Up until the time that you will reach point of doing what if analysis, etc., you have a lot of milestones and a lot of benefits in the way.
Leon, I just want to welcome Ed Bo, Jennifer Doctor, and Vicky, who are out here tweeting. I had posted question 2, which is, what is your experience using requirements management tools? And you were speaking to that as well as question 3, what are the challenges of starting to use requirements management tools? Jennifer had reiterated that you want to encourage others to enter ideas into the requirements management. That's how you build a community. Don't shut it down to the organization. And also that it's time for requirements management to be used more in organizations. First it was the ERP, then the HCMS. Now products deserve and need attention. Agree. And Ed Bo says that even if you do encourage others to enter ideas into the requirements management tool, you still need to have a filter, which Liam was speaking to.
Absolutely, and the filter in such case will have to be the product manager, again, as the person who is solely in charge of managing the requirements in the company. I agree.
Great. I would like to have you repeat what you were talking about at the beginning, because it was important. You were taking us through the steps for choosing. You identified 3 different challenges, 3 different steps.
If I take the list of all the challenges that we have in requirements management in overall, I see 3 which are the most problematic and important ones. It's traceability, dependency, and prioritization. Traceability is how the requirements are connected between themselves. Requirements exist because there is a problem that we want to solve. So which product requirements refer to which market problem? Which system requirements refer to which product requirements, and etc. Also, I can have traceability when one requirement is divided into few sub-requirements. So this is the traceability, and I need to have it because this will lead me to the ability to do the second challenge, which is dependency. And dependency leads me to what if. If I decide to take one requirement out, what it means regarding the system requirements, what it means regarding the market problem, which market problem I won't be able to to address. Sometimes, since the relation is one to many, the same product requirement or the same system requirement can refer to one or more market problems. So by taking one out, which one will be influenced? The third one is the prioritization, which is the most critical and sensitive issue, because requirements are pouring here in every day from different sources, and every source believes his requirement is the most important one. How do I prioritize them in an objective way? So anyone that will look at the system will see the rationale, the reasoning behind the fact that his requirement is number 17 and not number 3. So this must be done in a way which will look at overall requirements in a very objective way. And this cannot be a person, because, you know, we are very objective, but not when it comes to our interests. So traceability, in order to understand which item is related to which item, dependency, in order to understand what will happen if, and prioritization, in order to make sure that the most important and the most valuable requirements are going to be put in the next release.
Leon, I think that was good. It was an important section that I think was lost in the first time around, so it was good to have that repeated.
Okay.
If I could add in one question that kind of sits between question 3 and 4, and that is regarding scalability, and it may be something that's natural from the variation of the number of systems available. But is it possible to start off small if you're a small team, for instance, or a one location company, to scale up with RMT from small to large, tailor-made systems depending on the business? Or do you need to have a certain scale to your organization before you can start working with these?
Most of the tools offer a very good scalability, not only in performance regarding the size of the storage, but even in the ability that if the RMT, the specific RMT you are using, has 10, 15 different features, you can start only with two of them and then later add more of them. Not everything must run in day one. Most of the tools are flexible enough to give you the ability to pick and choose between. Most of them can provide a very good scalability, not only based on hardware, because most of them can do that, but since the majority of them are using standard databases, if it's Oracle or SQL Server, so regarding the ability to crunch huge amounts of information, almost all of them can offer that. One of the things that I would recommend is to take a tool which is sitting on top of a commercial database and not something which is proprietary, because then it's very hard to check and to test the scalability, because most of it resides on the database level.
Sure, that's useful for for the listeners to know. So thanks for letting me slip an extra question in. Something I guess you see all too often, Leon, and it's your next question, is regarding the difficulties that product managers we see on a regular basis when we're not using an RMT. I imagine there's any number of these, and it may fill an hour talking about what the difficulties are. But what are the big ones? Is there something you see time and time again occurring in an organization that could be resolved through RMT?
Depending the size of the systems that you are dealing with, the more requirements that you have, the more products that you manage, the more sources you have for your requirements, the mess becomes more and more big and almost unmanageable. It ends at the end of the day by sometimes requirements that are lost, requirements that could be and should be part of the next release, and they are someplace in the system and you can't find them. It ends in things like we decided to de-scope 3 or 4 things, and you discover only in the test stage, in the QA stage, that there are a few functions that won't work because you forgot or you didn't notice that you are taking things out. Long story short, it becomes a mess, and there is a very huge damage as part of it. and the product managers become very frustrated because they have all the information, but because they cannot manage it because it's a pile of things, at the end of the day, it has a lot of damage and a lot of frustration from the product manager teams.
I can imagine that being the case, Leon. I'm watching Twitter to see if anyone offers further difficulties that they've seen either firsthand or through secondary experience.
Of course, we can mention one more thing, which is the time. The same activity will take you more and more time because you need to go manually over huge list of requirements. So you have the mess, you have the inconsistency, you have the time and the damage at the end of the day because you didn't manage to do something because the release must start tomorrow and you don't have the time to do second prioritization because something changed.
Coming on to the time, I think is an important issue in all projects. Of course, what sort of review would you carry out using RMT? Does it allow you or does it force you to carry out a daily review or a weekly review, or is it something that you would see companies and teams meeting to discuss on a monthly or quarterly basis, or is it real time? Is it happening up to the minute in terms of project on track, in terms of time and cost?
Well, it can be any one of the methods that you mentioned, and one of the factors that can influence it is the way the development is working or the rate in which rate you need to provide more and more work to the R&D. For example, if they are working in agile mode, in any one of the agile development methodologies, so it sometimes can be even weekly. Every week you have a sprint or a cycle of development, and then you need to provide it very, very quickly. So you will be, in such case, you will be much more hands-on on the system in order to make sure that in every minute that someone will ask, you have the list, the high priority requirements for the next release. If we are talking about long releases that takes months to develop them, then you will do it in a cycle of two or three or four times a year. It has a very strong relation depending on your release policy. So high intensity of your release policy, the amount of releases that you have here. I'm familiar with the companies who are working in very extreme methods of agile, and they have 1 week sprints. So 1 week sprints means your system needs to be almost in real time providing the next 10 requirements, the next 15 requirements. So it can be any one of the methods that you mentioned. But as more the system will be open, which means you will give other people the ability to enter information in, you can work in the process of a weekly review of what's new in my system, of anything changed. But when you have an RMT, this is almost not a factor because you can do prioritization every half an hour. If you want to do it manually, then it becomes a very problematic, and this goes back to the previous question.
Yeah, for sure. The other factor that becomes relevant in terms of those one-week sprints, real-time information is location. In the marketing world, of course, mobile is very much the flavor of the season, and any tool that doesn't have the ability to be mobile really becomes limited. So with RMT, I think you've already said earlier, Leon, that they can be online. So there's online packages available. I guess that means they can be mobile. So you could be in an office, or you could be in the lab, or you could even be traveling. Product management is not based at a desk. So are these systems mobile? Can you pick them up and take them with you?
In those who are in the SaaS environment, it's much easier to do it. So you can connect the cloud from wherever you are. If you are talking about mobile solutions in the level of iPad and iPhone and tablets and things like this, I know that at least in half of the products, I can see it appeared in the roadmap. For sure, the next place that they want to conquer is to be mobile. So not only that you can do it real time when you are in your office, but anytime, any place, anywhere, this is something that these tools are also looking at, because as you said, product managers most of the time are traveling and they need to be able to access the system 24 hours a day from any place in the world. This is definitely the next step.
So, sounds good. And I think it leads us to uh, Your last question. I'm conscious of time, Leon, so I know before we run out, what are the big benefits, or what do you see are the maybe the top three benefits for companies that implement an RMT?
Much better releases, much better solutions, very focused, very targeted to the market. This will be the three most important: focused, complete, and market targeted. If I want to penetrate market X, so I can focus my release to answer in the best way I can for this market, because I have all the prioritization and what if and everything inside. So completeness of a release, focused release, and very organized. So all the features are really the one that the market needs, and I don't have a kind of cool features inside because someone thought is important.
Sure, really good. Those three benefits sound pretty compelling to someone like me that would love to get an RMT system on board.
Exactly.
I guess there's only one way that RMT will go, and that's growth. Do you see today already the use being more widespread, and for the future, I guess, do you see it really becoming much more mainstream and standard for product management?
I see product management in general, as a profession, as a unit in the organization, becoming more and more mainstream than it was 10 years ago. So as mainstream product management will go, the tools that support more product management will benefit from the same trend. Yes, absolutely.
I'm really pleased to hear that as a product manager.
Me too.
I guess, Cindy, in the last few minutes, I'm conscious that there's been a lot of good feedback on Twitter. Is there anything else we need to cover in the last couple of minutes?
Jennifer Doctor was talking about that not all requirements management tools need to be mobile-based. It depends on the business. Don't run to mobile if that isn't the problem, and that 24/7 and mobile are not the same. I think that's true. And Bo said, repeating that RMT solves the different versions of requirements floating around, poor road mapping, poor product launches, low team cohesion with development. So a lot of benefits to RMT, to using requirements management. And thank you for shedding light on them, Leon. And because of the difficulty in choosing them and setting them up, it's understandable why they're not more widely used. But I agree with you that as product management is more mainstreamed, so aren't these tools recognized as important investments for the organization.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So thank you. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for allowing me to join. It was very interesting, and I hope the usage of RMT in the world will increase, because this is really something that can do product management life a bit easier.
Excellent. And I think we need to talk about it more. So I invite you to come back. Thank you so much, John, for leading us through the discussion.
No, thank you, Cindy. And Leon, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you. It was my pleasure also.
We will return on Monday, June 18th, with Robert DeLagasse, who is the Chief Disruption Officer at Rackspace, a very big hosting company. So please join us on June 18th. Please listen to our podcasts that are on iTunes and also on Blog Talk Radio, and search for us at Prod Management Talk, ProdMDMTTalk, on the web for our recaps, podcasts, and other valuable information. Thank you again to our speaker, Leon Malello, and thank you to our co-host, Joan Newberry.
Thank you.